Well, good morning, Crossroads. Man, oh man. Listen, my name is Brian. I'm the lead pastor here, and so glad that you chose to be here with us today. If you're a guest, just really glad you're here. If you're online, welcome whatever Starbucks you might be in today. So listen, we are in week number 3 of a series that we're calling How to Wreck Your Life. And I want to thank all of you that, all of yous, that's a Chicago thing, all of yous, all of you guys that joined us on Periscope this week. Join us at 6:30 in the morning to have a little Bible study with me. And if you were part of it, you saw my son joined us, which was kind of fun, and he prayed, which was so sweet. So just glad that you chose to be with us. And also, if you missed any messages, week 1 or week 2, you can always go to our website. As Pastor Mike had talked about, you can also go to our Facebook page. You can find him there as well to get the links. We want you to stay connected. Well, this week we are going to look at how to wreck our life through addiction. And the song that Ronnie just sang is just a powerful indication of the gravity of the addiction that pulls us in. It's so strong sometimes. And so if you're here today and you have your Bible or your Bible app, I'd encourage you to open to Romans chapter 1. It's where we're going to be in just a little bit. So I want to give you a head start on that. So Romans chapter 1. We'll have it on the screen too. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. But sure, we'd love for you to open God's Word with us today if you could. Now, before we get too far, I know that there are some people in the room right now that after I said what I'm going to be preaching about today are thinking, great, this is the sermon when the pastor sucks all the fun out of my life. Yes, this is going to be great. By the end of this, I'll be churning my own butter, making my own clothes, homeschooling my kids, all kinds of stuff, right? Because I'm going to feel so guilty about everything in the world, right? Just let's deep breath. We're okay. Relax, okay? It's not going to be that bad. It's going to be just fine. Today is not about sucking the fun out of your life. It's infusing joy into your life today. But in order to understand this, we need to understand what God has for us and what God wants for us as well, too, in this life. Now, my friends that are in AA or in NA right now this stuff will not be new news to you. But to us normies out here, we need to know this stuff. And so here is just a little bit of reality about our society right now. Let me grab it real quick. This is some information you should know about. Drug use is on the rise in this country. 23.5 million Americans are addicted to alcohol and to drugs. That's approximately one in every 10 Americans over the age of 12 years old. And what that is it's about the entire population of Texas would be the equivalent of that. That's how many people are addicted to drugs and alcohol. Now, on the flip side of the coin, the adult entertainment industry is a $13 billion an industry annually just in the United States. And by 2017, a quarter of a billion people are expected to be accessing mobile adult content from their phones or tablets, which is an increase of more than 30% from 2013. Statistics will say that 1 in 5 mobile internet searches are for pornography, and that 9 out of 10 or 6 out of 10 girls will be exposed to pornography before the ages of 12. That's some staggering information for us to consider. Staggering information for us to kind of take a look at. But in fact, what I want us to be able to understand is that it's not just relegated to these big three. So much of us think that it's drug, alcohol, and pornography, but it is far more accessible, far more prevalent than you would even think. Now, reason I know that is right now we are in our New Year's resolution phase. There's a lot of people out there that have joined gyms, have joined those and are considering being addicted to working out, aren't we? Like you're considered being addicted to working out. You've got your gym membership, you're all gung-ho. You want to be known as the addicted to workout guy. That's what you're hoping for. Now, I've been in a lot of gyms in my day, and I know that there are some universal people that you will find at a gym no matter where you go. I joined a gym in Escalon. It's a 24/7 gym, and just to kind of get the moving pounds off from Chicago to here. And I noticed that the very same people that were in Chicago are here, and maybe you know some of them. There's the walk around the gym for 2 hours and never work out guy. You've seen that guy, you know? Always puffed out like he's got something, you know, like never touches a thing, you know? Then there is the super sweaty guy that smells like black licorice and burnt cabbage guy, you know? You're like, what is that, you know? And if you're sitting there today like, I've never smelled that before, it's because it's you. Like, you know, like you're reeking, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Then there's the I play my music so loud that everyone could hear it in the gym guy through your earphones, you know? Like, they, you know, crazy. But the one that I love the most, the one that just baffles my mind the most is this guy. It's the guy that on the first day works out every muscle in his body the first day. Have you seen these guys? That every piece of equipment in the entire gym has his fingerprints on it. But after that one day, you never see him again, do you, right? Because he's in some hospital somewhere because he's tore everything, you know? Like, and in his brain, like, I'm so fit. You know, you're not fit, man. You're injured, you know? But you get addicted to all kinds of stuff, don't we? We get addicted to all kinds of stuff. In some form or fashion, addiction has touched each and every one of us in some way today. And you may not be able to see it right now. You know, you may not be able to see it. But my prayer is that by the time we're done today, that you'll be able to see how prevalent addiction really is in our society. But I also realize that there's some people in here today that are going to say, you know, I'm just not ready to hear all that stuff, you know? And that's okay as well. But there are also some people in here today that might be thinking, man, I'm pretty good right now. But you know, I've been kind of thinking about maybe I will pick up an addiction. You know, that might be, you know, something new to try this year. So I'm here to help you out today. So without further ado, I want to make sure that I equip you, future addicts of America, with 5 easy ways to become an addict today. That's right, 5 easy ways for you to become addicted in your bullets, and you can refer to those later. Now, before we get to number 1, there's a very key important thing, is that before you get, start these things, you have to find your vice. Find the thing that you want to become addicted to. Now, my suggestion would be that I would make sure that you get a super expensive one. Because usually expensive addictions will cause the greatest collateral damage. You want to go big or go home on this thing, you know? Like, let's go for it if we're going to do it, okay? And so number 1 then, after we've got our addiction, is that we need to lie to ourselves. After you've got your addiction, you need to make sure that whatever you do, you need to do whatever you do or say in order to maintain your addiction. The worst thing in the world that you can do when you're addicted is to admit that you have a problem. Never do that. Keep that tucked way, way, way down in your spirit. And if anyone comes to love on you, you got to shut them down. You got to keep them out. Don't let them get, you know, at arm's reach. But make sure you keep them a little bit closer, because there's going to be a time where you're going to need to use them for something. You don't want to, you know, cut them completely off because you want to get a hookup later. So make sure. But don't believe that whole I love you nonsense, okay? Don't buy that. And just keep telling yourself that it's a you thing, not a we thing. You are by yourself in this whole deal. And your family and friends, man, they don't really care about you as much as they say. So don't just lie to yourself a little bit. And then number 2, you want to make sure you live for yourself. Live for yourself. Never forget that you are the most important thing in the entire world. Remember this great phrase, I deserve this. Man, keep that tight with you, because after all, you work really, really hard so that you can enjoy this. Even if you don't work really, really hard, you still deserve this. Whatever it takes to satisfy yourself, do it. Man, if you're hungry, eat it. If you want to buy it, you buy it. If you think he's hot, go hit on him. Whatever makes you happy, go do it. Now, the Bible's going to tell you this. It's going to say, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another. Man, don't believe that. That ain't true. I mean, if you serve somebody else, then, you know, that's taken away from stuff for you. You know, you need to buy it. You need to sniff it, snort it, drink it, look at it, whatever. You deserve it. You know what they say. They say, you know, if it looks good, smells good, tastes good, or feels good, you need more of it. You know, that's what you need. It doesn't matter the cost. Oh, one other thing. Don't forget this. If you need to make sure that you really keep your family and your kids out of your mind, because they're going to jack the whole thing up. You know, they'll slow you down. So just push them away as far as you can. Number 3, you got to rationalize it. You got to rationalize yourself. This is so important to becoming an addict. You have to build up a huge stockpile of excuses, and you have to lean on them a lot. Let me give you some examples. Again, write these down. These are helpful, you know. It's just once. It's just once. No one will know. I'm not hurting everyone, or I'm not even hurting anyone. If I charge it, I can pay it off next month. No one's watching. I can stop when I want. I need a smartphone. See, these are so great because they are 100% dictated on you. They depend on you. Remember, this is all for you anyway, right? This whole thing. So make sure that you can maintain control of the message that's in your head. Don't let your conscience get in the way of your fun either. And please, 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 don't bring God into this thing. Don't bring God. But, you know, after all, I know that the Bible's going to tell you in Proverbs 12, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. That ain't true, you know? That's not true. You're not a fool. You got this. You deserve this. Number 4, you got to hide yourself. Always, always, always keep your addiction a secret. Remember, it's a you thing. It's your thing. Keep it to yourself, and you seal it up inside yourself like a vault, and you hang on to the key. You're the only one. After all, doesn't everything that's good grow in the dark? Like, I mean, it just really grows really nicely. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And, of course, there will be all these concerned people that will start poking around your life, you know. So if people start asking questions, you just shut down as quick as possible. Shut down. Get angry, get stonewalled, defensive, you know, anything that you need in order to get them off your back, you do that. Even if it's, like, totally different than your character, and no one would even know it's from you, you got to protect your addiction at all costs, so you bring it. Now, make sure either you use all of those excuses that we gave just a second ago, or just learn a way to flake out and run away. That's another way that you can do this. See, they don't understand the benefits this addiction is bringing to you. So let them in will only confuse things so much. So you got to keep people away. This is a you thing. Number five, you got to depend on yourself. This is all you. You got to depend on you. This may be the most important thing to remember. You have to believe that your strength is what's going to sustain this whole thing. If you start to get weak, don't worry, you got more. You'll be able to keep going. You're alone in this world, and you'll only get through it by yourself. It's the only way. If something's broken, you got to fix it. You are the king and the queen of your personal internal DIY project. It is only you, and you can do this life yourself. By yourself. If people get in the way, run them over, cut them off, blow them up, whatever you got to do. There is no room in your addiction except for you. So depend on yourself. Remember, man, you got this, kid, right? You're good. You got this. All right, let's review this real quick. I don't want to make sure we forget anything. So we want to lie to ourselves, live for ourselves, rationalize yourself, hide yourself, and depend on yourself. Five things that if you do that, you are in line for a raging addiction, y'all. So keep up close if that's something that you want to do, okay? Five easy steps to become addicted. How about that? Anybody? Anybody interested? I don't think so. let's wrap our arms around this. Let's wrap our heads a little bit around this. Now, here's the first thing that we need to do right out of the chute, just boom, right there. We have to remember that this is an everyone problem, not just a druggies, drunk, and pornographer problem. This is an everyone problem. See, what we like to do is we like to place addiction, we like to call them those people, you know? It's those people. So we have something to compare to ourselves, you know what I mean? Like, we like to create, like, a different gradient for things. Like, I may be addicted to shopping, but at least I'm not a meth head, you know? You know, I might have an eating problem, but you know, at least I'm not addicted to porn. See, we make ourselves feel better by other people's sin. Like, we've created a sin gradient. In our arrogance, we place some sin higher than others so that we can compare ourselves. Because in some way, we need people to be addicted to drugs and alcohol and all that stuff, other stuff. Because if people stop looking at that, they're going to start looking at our junk, aren't they? And we don't want any of that. So let's start out really academic with this whole thing. Let's look at the basic definition of addiction. Addiction, by Webster's, is a strong and harmful need to regularly have something or do something. Now, before you just kind of say to yourself, yeah, I get that. Note that this definition right here is doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room, does it? In other words, something can be a junk drawer of stuff. You can put anything that you want in there. Maybe it's a strong and harmful need to regularly have attention, or a strong and harmful need to regularly online shop, or a strong and harmful need to go fishing. Like, anything if it's taken to the excess can be addicting. So none of us are really off the hook. You're not convinced yet. Okay, well, let me give you another example here, okay? You tell me what happens, like, deep within your spirit, like, in your gut, like, when you hear your text message go off, right? Inside you. You start patting yourself down like you're on fire, right? Where'd that phone go? Woo! It's my Verizon, my bill's ready, boom, totally worth it, you know? Like, you start freaking out. Who's got something they want to tell me? I must be important, boop, right? All right, well, you're not ready. Okay, how about this one? How about when you post a picture on Facebook? How quick are you like, how many people liked it? 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 10, yes, woo, you know? You start freaking out. You just are so concerned about that. No. Now, for most of us, those aren't bad things that we just talked about, are they? They're not bad things. We have to eat to survive, but when food becomes all that we think about and it starts to be our support system, we've tipped into the addictive. We've tipped into the wrong spot. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says this. He says, I have the right to do anything, Paul says, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. So Paul is basically saying, like, hey, listen, I have the right to anything. And in most cases, that's true for us too, isn't it? I mean, short of it being illegal or immoral, we have the freedom to all kinds of different things. mean, God's given us food to eat, sex to enjoy within marriage, relationships to nurture, all kinds of other things. But Paul says one key thing when it comes to all of those things. He says, don't let them master you. Now, the Greek word, the definition for that would be to have power or authority over. That's what it means. So Paul is basically telling us is let nothing have power or authority over you. But the things we just listed can't really control you on their own, right? Think about it. They're just an action or they're a thing. It's an inanimate object. It's an inanimate thing. See, no one has ever been drug into an alley by food and then been forced to eat at the Golden Corral for 6 hours. Like that food, you don't get held up at gunpoint by a cucumber. Like it just doesn't happen, you know? And no one has ever been thrown in the van by work to be able to go and work 90 hours and ignore your family. Right? That just doesn't happen. No, we choose these things. We do those things. We allow these things to master us all the time. That's on us. It's not the thing's fault, it's our fault by letting them take mastery over our lives. But we aren't passive to this either. But we're not passive to this takeover. We choose this. And let me give you an example from my own life, okay? So you need to know that I've never drank before. I don't drink. I literally have never had a drop of alcohol, okay? So before you start judging me and call me a straight edge and say you're ruining wine country, like, just relax for a second, okay? There are two reasons. There are two reasons that I do not drink, and neither one of them have any sort of biblical, the Bible says you shouldn't do it type of thing. Now, I'm going to give you the second reason first, just to mess with you a little bit, okay? I'm going to give you the second reason first, and I'm going to get to the first one later. The second reason that I don't drink came to me actually when I was playing professional baseball, because I realized then that I have an extremely addictive personality. I know that when it comes to pretty much anything, man, I will get involved. I'm totally in. That's probably what made me such a great baseball player because, man, I became addicted to playing ball, and I just got really, really good at it. You should know that, and this is important, that when I played professional baseball, I just need to be honest with you, I had a raging Coke addiction. Coca-Cola. Okay, easy, everybody, all right? Easy. All right, we're good. Coca-Cola, okay. Now you think like, whatever. Here's the thing. When I played baseball, you have to know this. I drank a ton of pop. I said pop. That's right, because God calls it pop. It's not soda, whatever freaky thing y'all call it. It's pop, okay? I would drink. You got to understand. When I played pro ball, before the game, we had what's called pregame and batting practice. Before I even stepped on the field every day, I would have a six-pack of Coke. Before I even stepped on the field. And then between pregame and the real game, and then after the game, whatever I had another six-pack of Coke. Before every game. Let me give you an idea of what that means, okay? So we played, every day of a month, basically. At least one game a day. What that means is 720 cans of Coke that I drank in 1 month. That's 1 month, y'all. 1 month. Times 2, 3, 4, 5 months that I played in the summer. 720 cans. Y'all, that's out of control if you didn't know, right? The fact that I even am not diabetic is amazing to me, okay? Amazing, you know? It's so what I learned back, and as I sat back and I looked at this, I realized something very important. I realized that this could control my life. What would happen if it wasn't pop, but if it was drugs? What would happen if it was alcohol or whatever else? Like, what would happen to me? I mean, I literally have given my closest friends the permission to punch me in the face and the throat and throw me in a van and take me to Betty Ford if they ever see me with an alcohol, ever, 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 because they should know that my addictive personality will put me over the edge so quickly. See, I have to understand, I came to know myself and that I have a very addictive personality. But you see, now that I know, I can be cautious. I can avoid being mastered by other things, the things that come into my path. I know my weaknesses a little bit more, and I don't place myself in situations where I could be tempted or where my addictive personality would hurt my family or my friends. But in order for us to really understand this trap of being mastered by addiction, we have to wrestle addiction to the ground, into the core, and understand the why we get so caught up in it. And so that's why I want us to look at Romans 1 today a little bit. In Romans chapter 1, we're going to look at Paul's words here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the entire section of Scripture, then we're going to come back, we're going to pick it apart, okay? So Romans chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 21. In verse 21, and here we read that Paul says this. He says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen." All right, so let's pick it apart and look at verse 21 to begin with. It said again, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." So Paul is writing to this church in Rome, the churches in Rome. And what's funny about this is that the people that would have heard this, some of them may not have even known who Paul was. Like they didn't even know that he was the one that started the church, because Rome was so diverse and it was a growing city and people kept coming and going all the time. So there's a very likely that they didn't know. But he was speaking to this church here about what happens when we choose other things other than God. He's trying to explain this to them. He says that although they knew God, they neither glorified him. In other words, they didn't follow him. And because they didn't give him the highest priority in their lives, their hearts became, it says, darkened. Let me ask you, do you know God? Like, has Jesus changed you? Is there hope in your world? If those things haven't happened, addiction is a long road that you will not make on your own. You won't make it. Because it is only through the power of Jesus Christ that we can get through what we're going through. Only through him. See, without him, we are left to our own strength. And listen, your own strength has gotten to you to this point right now. This is where you're at because of your strength. And a lot of us are sitting here with darkened hearts today. Lots of us. That we know of God, but we don't know God. But today is the chance to change that. Today is the chance when you can actually embrace a relationship with Jesus and understand that by his strength, you can get through what you're going through. But in order to do that, you need to know him. Okay, we continue. In verse 22, it says this. Verse 22 says, "Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles." Okay, like reptiles. So in the Roman culture, it was not uncommon for people to worship all kinds of different gods and all kinds of different things. Paul dealt with all kinds of polytheistic cultures like he did in Rome. He's very used to that. But what Paul knows and what we know is that we will all worship something. It's just a matter of what. So some of us will be mastered, or will worship things like our teams or our hobbies or women. Other of us will worship our kids or social media or books or drugs or whatever it might be. We will worship and give ourselves over to something. And when we say it out loud, like, it sounds crazy, like I'm not worshiping anything like that. I'm not going that far. But you see, when we place our time, our talents, and our energy, and we set it at the altar in front of these things, we do that all the time. We're worshiping those things. And it's okay to have hobbies. I'm not saying that at all. It's okay to have hobbies and interests. But what I'm saying is that when it swings to addiction, what begins to happen, when it matters more to us, is that we lose sight of what's important. If our family, our friends, our values, our character are being compromised by this whole thing of results of worshiping that thing, then we're off course when it comes to it. See, here Paul is writing to these people that had given themselves over to worshiping statues that looked like things that God had created. They had lost sight of what's the most important thing. They've lost sight of it. And so we keep going in verse 24. It says, "Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another." This is actually one of the most scariest verses, I think, in the entire Bible, because it's a haunting aspect of the character of God. It's that God gave them over to their sinful desires. Did you know that God won't force you or I to follow him in this life? He won't make us. We've talked about this before. It's this idea of free choice and free will that God has given to every man. And we have the choice whether we reject God or we embrace God. We have the choice to follow him or not follow him, and God will not force your hand to do it. He will let us worship what we want, and he will step back out of the way and say, do what you want. What did it tell us? We won't talk a lot about it in churches a lot, but there's an aspect of God that we don't talk about, which is his wrath. It's a very real thing. See, the sin in our lives is a real thing with real consequences. And the consequences we should receive for those things is found in the wrath of God. See, wrath is the justice component to the character of God. Yet sometimes we think of this as like a lightning bolt. You know, the wrath of God where it just zaps the guy on the street corner, you know, and he's gone. But there is a far more passive aspect to God's wrath. It's when God removes his hand of protection from our life and says, okay, your will be done. And he moves out of the way and lets us have what we want. He lets us replace him with our sinful desires and also then the consequences of those sinful desires. And that's what's happened here in Rome. God is saying to them, he says, he's given them over to in other words, he's taken their hand, his hand back to let them choose what they want to do. And it's a very, very dangerous thing. As we find out in Romans 25, as we finish, it says they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. Bingo. There it is. This is the heart of addiction right here, that we worship creation instead of the Creator. That's the heart of it. We have chosen to love the things that God created and to hold them to higher regard than him. We feel as though we've come so far and we've grown so smart that we just don't need God anymore. That somehow the things he created, those things that he created, are more awe-inspiring and worthy of being mastered by than the master himself. You know what's interesting, though, as you look at this scripture, though, is that it actually is the complete opposite of what evolution will teach you. So evolution that we learn is that man started low and then slowly evolved to become really high, right? Went low into high. But this is actually de-evolution or devolution, that man started high and now has sunk so low that he's lower than the things that God had created himself. We have replaced eternal God with the temporal creation. We are expecting it to be our God. That's what we've expected. But I'm here to tell you today that it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. There's another way that can be oh so powerful. There is another way of looking at our life together and that could pull us out of our funk and recalibrate our spirit. And that's why I want today to make sure that you go home also with this list. Four ways to live a life of freedom. Four ways to live a life of freedom. And number one is to admit your problem. Start by believing that the denial is not just a river in Egypt, okay? Just know that. Begin by admitting that you need help and verbalize it. Listen to what it says. It says that if you've heard this, addiction is an escape from reality. Isn't that true? I mean, for a short time, the addiction can cloud your reality a little bit, but reality always wins every time. It really does. You come off the high. You get the hangover. You wake up and see the person next to you. You realize that you haven't been home in months. Like, reality hits you. And we have to understand that saying we have an issue doesn't make us weak. In fact, it makes you stronger than 99% of the people that are in this world that will not admit it. One of the biggest reasons we don't admit it is that we are scared. Listen to what John Baker says. He says, part of our human need is to refuse change until our pain exceeds our fear. Let me ask you today, how's your pain? How's your pain? Have you had enough? Are you tired of running? Then stop. Stop. Get help today. And getting help is where number two is that we commit to some people and to a process. If we get back to the gym analogy, even the strongest human being on the earth needs a spotter, doesn't he? He needs a spotter, needs a partner, needs somebody around them. If we are carrying a heavy load, we need some people around us sometimes. Remember, we get better together. Get someone near you to help you through this. And let me tell you, Crossroads is here to help you and wants to be a part of that. Our Celebrate Recovery program meets on Monday nights from 7 to 9 right here at the church. And listen, Celebrate Recovery is not for addicts that are just in alcohol or drugs or pornography. It's really for everyone. If you have a hurt habit or hang up that you are wrestling with, that program will help you deal with it in a God-honoring way. Get involved with it. Go out. There's a booth out there. They would love to talk with you about how you can get help. And maybe today, man, maybe you're thinking, you know, man, I'm not addicted. Like, I'm being honest. I'm not being, you know, a jerk or anything. I'm just really doing. But the thing that you have right now is you are alone. You are alone. You are living this life alone. And I will tell you, that is the biggest heyday that Satan can ever have, is when you are alone. Get around some people in your life that you can be with so that you don't fall into the trap of addiction. I want you to join a growth group. And we've got growth groups that are going to be signing up today to be a part of it. To get out there and get some community around you. They start February 7th. Go out in there and they would love to get you connected. If you are 20s or 30s, we're starting a couple of groups that would love for you to be a part of. Go and ask to be in the 20s or 30s group if you need to. That if you're new in your faith or new in your family or just new in your marriage, get involved. We'd love to get you connected with that group. There's a few spots available for that. But there's another thing I think you need to know too, is that there is an addiction in our society that we never talk about, and we don't consider it addiction, but that addiction is called debt. And debt is literally killing relationships and families every day. Every day. And we want to help you with this as well, too, to get your finances on strong footing. And that's why on February 7th, we're also starting a program called Financial Peace University. Take a listen to this video and consider it for you. So what I want you to do, if that resonated with you, I want you to go out. There is a booth out there that you can sign up today to be a part of that. Steve and Caitlin will be out there, and they would love to talk with you more about that. But don't let debt be your addiction, okay? Don't let debt be your addiction. Get involved with it. It is literally the best $100 you will ever spend. I guarantee you it is worth every penny of it. 9 weeks long, it'll impact your life. Go sign up after we're done here today. Number three, credit your consequences. Credit your consequences. I told you I'd come back to the first reason why I don't drink, and here it is. When I was in sixth grade, back in Rapid City, South Dakota, my friend Heidi Erickson, her brother and sister, were killed by a drunk driver as they were going to a concert in North Dakota. Now listen, that was a long time ago, but it impacted me greatly. See, John and Jenny were at the prime of their life. They were in high school. Like, I didn't have older brothers to look up to. I looked up to them, and they were great kids, great role models. They had their whole life ahead of them. And they were killed by a person that decided that their life, their happiness, their choices were more important than someone else's. That's what they decided. And there were a lot of moments that stuck out to me and still just are embedded in my spirit of thinking of that time. But what I remember the most is when Heidi was explaining to me, when the knock came on the door, and when her mom and dad opened that door and those police officers were there and they had to tell them that their two babies had died because of somebody's actions. She told me about her dad, her mom, like beating the chest of her dad and just crying and asking why and screaming why. Then having them have to tell her later what had happened, and it crushed me. I mean, it crushed me to think about being a parent, to have to hear those words. And it was right then and there that I decided that I would never be the reason that police had to go and knock on somebody's door and tell another set of parents that their kids were dead because of my stupid actions. Never. That's why I don't drink. That's the biggest reason. I believe that the consequences that are possible as a result of going down that road are not worth it. And I'm not going to allow myself to be a part of it. The decisions that you make are not held in a vacuum, you guys. They don't just affect you. They affect everyone around you. If you are on your phone all the time, you're missing out on a relationship with your kids that will affect your relationship later, and they will perpetuate what you're doing. If you are always at work, your family will splinter and crack, and the very thing that you're trying to provide for will be gone. If you are doing drugs, whether they're illegal or legal drugs, it will catch up to you and it will destroy your home. Guaranteed. I say that not to be mean. I say that not to be mean, and as somebody that's got problems too, but I say that as your pastor that loves you. Think about the consequences that are going to have it, and don't live in the bubble of selfishness any longer. And number four, submit to God. Submit to God. It's been said that you can believe in God and understand God, but until you submit to God, He can't do anything to help you. Coming to Jesus is not a sign of weakness, is the ultimate sign of strength. It's showing that His strength is greater. The trainer for Mike Tyson, Customato, said, to see a man beaten not by a better opponent, but by himself is a tragedy. A tragedy. Don't let addiction beat you. Let Christ fight in your corner for you to knock this out once and for all. Submit to God. Take control of your life. Let Him lead you. If you hear nothing else from this message today, I want you to hear this, that you are never too messed up for God. Never. And here's how I know this to be true. In Luke chapter 4 is some of the most powerful passages about Jesus. Jesus goes into Nazareth and He goes into the synagogue to teach. And there's a time in which He's invited up, or He decides to go up to read scripture. And in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16, it says, He stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." My friends, I cannot overstate what just happened here. This is literally a mic drop moment for Jesus. Mic drop moment. He just told all of these religious people and all the people that were there that everything that you've been reading for the past hundreds and hundreds of years are fulfilled today in me. I'm the guy. It means that we don't need to read anymore. We need to follow more. We need to look up and see that Jesus is our Savior, and now everything is changed. The captives are set free. The blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. This is why this is so important. Because even though you might feel as though your entire world is against you, Jesus is for you. Even if you feel like you're all alone, Jesus is with you. Even if you feel like the darkness is all around you, Jesus is the light. Even if you feel like you are on your last thread, it can barely hold on, Jesus is holding on to the other end. Jesus believes in you and in me. Set me free. Leave me be. I don't want to fall another moment into your gravity. No more. You don't have to do it this alone. You don't have to be mastered anymore. You don't. Get people around you. Get support around you, but get Jesus in you. Get Him inside you. Even if you get your addiction under control, your soul will always be left longing. It's only until Jesus fills you up and then you feel His grace healing you that you will find true freedom. Believe me, you are never too messed up for God. You are never too far from His grace. Let's pray. Mighty God and Father, You are good. I pray right now that You would do a work in this room, Lord, that You would remind us that we are not far from Your grace, that the gravity of addiction cannot hold us because You are the Father of gravity. You created it all, and You can bring us back to You in a heartbeat by us calling for You, reaching out for You, believing in You, and letting Your grace fall on us. Lord God, would You let the words of this song penetrate our spirit and let us know that You are with us and that we can defeat all things by Your strength and not ours. We give You the glory for it all because in our strength we have failed, but in You we are found free and we are victorious. We love You, Jesus. It is all for You. In Your name we pray. Amen. I want to leave you with this. My wife and I went to San Francisco, and we went to the ruins of the Sutro Baths down there, and they were beautiful. But there was this memorial that was there for the USS San Francisco. And it was amazing to me. It was actually more beautiful than even the sights that I saw, because there was this depiction and this they told about this battle that in July of 1942, there was a battle where the Japanese were starting to overtake things, and the U.S. had just had overcome and had taken over this Guadalcanal and had won this Air Force base there. But the Japanese were coming, and they were coming to overtake it again. And so they radio transmissioned out to the USS San Francisco and said, "We need you to go and cut them off and to do battle with the Japanese." And I just want you to hear what about this battle. It says that Rear Admiral Daniel J. Callaghan, on board his flagship, the USS San Francisco, a 10,000-ton treaty cruiser, was directed to intercept the Japanese naval strike force. His command consisted of 5 cruisers and 8 destroyers. On November 12th, near Guadalcanal, a damaged enemy plane crashed into the USS San Francisco, destroying the aft control station and killing and wounding 51 of his men. With a crippled flagship, Admiral Callaghan bravely prepared his task force for the imminent battle. And overheard on the bridge was the comment, "But this is suicide." But Callaghan said, cool, calm, and resolute, he said, "Yes, I know, but we've got to do it." This ferocious battle commenced at 1:48 a.m., Friday the 13th, November 1942. It was a sudden clash between 27 steel armored warships, 14 Japanese and 13 American. The U.S. naval ships had penetrated into the center of the Japanese battleship formation, a major advantage for Admiral Callaghan. Massive guns exploded in the pitch black night, firing hot projectiles with smoke and fire. And suddenly, the Japanese snapped on their bright searchlights. And this gave the admiral an additional advantage by identifying the enemy ships. He then issued the order, "Get the big ones first!" Hundreds of salvos rained down on the enemy battleships with blistering devastation. Blazing ships became targets. And so my question for you today is, what enemy ship has its lights on in your life? What are the areas in your life that God is saying, there it is, get the big ones first? What are they to you? And are you willing today to stand up and say, I'm going to kill them and bring them to the ground? Am I willing to not let addiction master me anymore, but I'm putting my laser focus on them because they are showing themselves now. I'm not worrying about the little ones. I'm getting the big ones that can kill me and I'll get to them. But what are you going to do today by the power of Jesus Christ? What are you going to do when you leave here? Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you ready to start living as Christ commanded you to? Don't be mastered by anything other than the great master himself and take down those enemies. Go for the big ones. It's what I want you to hear today, what God would want you to hear. Stand with me as we pray and we leave today. Mighty God and Father, I thank you for these moments where we can lean into you and trust you by your amazing grace. Do something in us that we can't do ourselves. And when we leave here, let us be overpowered and overwhelmed with your love and your grace, ready to impact this world for you, ready to break the cycle of addiction, ready to break into our new life and new world because of you. Lord, we can do it because of your strength. Help us to do it. Help us to see you. Help us to believe in you and to follow you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Tag, you're in.